Chuck E. Cheese, there is a whole group of human beings that is dedicated to that pizza. It's like a fan club.
Hi there. I just got an idea how to make Chuck E. Cheese's better than ever. Brand new pizza.
People love...
So the pizza itself?
The pizza itself.
Okay.
Like, they think it's one of the best pizzas in the world. And I'm not kidding.
Sure,
like,
you go, it was really cheap.
I'm pretty sure it was frozen pizza from Kroger.
Exactly.
A genius, if I do say so myself.
Pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure there was nothing delicious about... I mean, listen, for a frozen pizza, I guess it was okay. And if you're hungry and around a bunch of children, you'll eat anything, right?
Popping with new natural toppings. All with lots of sauces and plenty of cheese. So while you're having fun rolling and winning, jumping and spinning, and laughing and grinning, we're in the kitchen making the best pizza in town.
We do not stitch together old pizza. That's the very strange statement Chuck E. Cheese was forced to make after a popular YouTuber's conspiracy video went viral.
There's a theory that if somebody at Chuck E. Cheese doesn't finish their whole pizza, and there's like a few pieces left, the employee will take that to the back, take those pieces off the tray, and form a new pizza.
Artisan pizza for the 7 to 9 year old group.
Genius, if I do say so myself.
Early 2020, the world shut down. Stores, restaurants, schools, and whole communities shut their doors in an effort to protect human life. As the world quickly changed, one man went on Facebook to get a degree in internet epidemiology. Brian, along with his lab assistant Hotley, are curing coronavirus by commenting on fake news and reposting recipes of secret virus cures from a friend of a friend who works high up in government. Join Brian and Hotley as they discuss the world and life during this forced interruption, learning, laughing, and loving in this real-life commercial break. On this episode of The Commercial Break...
They don't have to go to work tomorrow, so they can take a nap while you're at work, so they can be up when you get back, and you can get less sleep than you had the night before. But don't let me complain.
No.
Thank you.
And then now you're back looking at the boobs.
It doesn't confuse me a bit. I'm like, nice tits.
Instead of it reminded me of Christmas.
It was a Thanksgiving, was like Thanksgiving. To remember. What a Thanksgiving.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Doobie-doobie-doo, doobie-doobie-doo. It's another episode of your favorite program on the podcasts, The Commercial Break. Welcome. I'm Brian, and this is my good friend Chrissy.
Hello.
Indubitable Hoadley. How are you, my good friend?
I am fantastic.
Yes, another fine pandemic week for you.
That's right. I think I'm just getting used to it.
Yes, me too. I'm getting used to the idea that we're going to be doing this for fucking ever.
Exactly.
Because it's true. And it's driving me bananas. I'm now looking for places that I can actually escape to that, you know, places that Americans are still allowed to travel. And there are just few of them. It's like Aruba, basically, or Russia. Those are the two places we can go. Aruba and Russia.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And possibly Mexico. Is Mexico one of those?
Ooh, Mexico's a big hot spot, though. I heard that on the news.
Oh, is it?
Today.
Damn.
Yeah.
Must be that fucking wall we built.
Right.
It's got everybody all infected.
Did you see that wall blew down?
Yes, I did see that wall blew down. Aw, poor little wall. It had never stood a chance against 10 mile per hour winds.
Yeah. I know. They said it was like a breeze.
Yeah. It's like three roaches and a fart took that thing down. Welcome to another episode of The Commercial Break, EP 17. We'll call it episode 17 for those of you keeping score at home on the scoreboard because, you know, there's a lot of people who like to keep score of the base. Have you seen those old guys at the baseball games who are like literally keeping score of every single thing that happened? Have you ever seen that at a baseball game? Like,
yes.
There's an old man with a book and he's like scoring, you know, the pitcher pitch to the left or pitch to the right or fastball, speedball, curveball, whatever.
Headphones are on.
Yeah, that's headphones are on. That's right. He's listening to the radio.
He's listening to the radio, yes.
So, you know, I was a big Cubs fan. We're big Cubs fans. We come from Chicago. And so that was something that my grandfather used to do. He used to score the games. And for what reason? I don't know. Like, what was he going to go back and look at it at some future date? I'm going to pull out the old scorebook for the Angels against the Cubs back in 1922. Holy cow. Hot dog. Episode number 17. Make sure you go to tcbpodcast.com. It's where you can find all of your favorite episodes of The Commercial Break with Chrissy and Brian Green. You can also join The Break Room there. The Break Room is a fantastic club that you can be a part of anytime, day or night. You can join The Break Room, and guess what we're going to send you? Free shit! As in an email that costs no money to produce or make or anything. Like, the cost of goods is small, as they would say. Go to tcbpodcast.com and make sure you join us on all the socials, whatever that is, at The Commercial Break on IG and on Facebook and on the YouTubes. So one of these days I'm going to get around to getting us a YouTube channel where we can like do the show and people can watch us, which I think would take this show to a whole new level of popularity. We could go from the tens of people to listening to the 20s of people listening. How do you feel about that?
I'm in on it.
Are you ready to be all dolled up and camered out?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to get hair and makeup every day.
I'll have to do it myself though, because I'm not going out to get it done.
You're not
going to
go out. What if we bring somebody in to do your hair and makeup?
Yes.
Like
maybe
a professional studio, a professional hair studio can sponsor the commercial break and then get your hair and makeup done every day before the show. Since we're recording 7 days a week.
I could also watch a YouTube video on how to do hair and makeup. Those are big.
Did you hear? Yeah, they are. My wife watches some of those. Do you watch a lot of those?
Not really, but I know that Rachel has in the past.
Rachel McGrath.
Really, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her good friend.
And yeah, and they've got some good stuff on there, I think.
Did you see where the people are doing eyebrow videos and then complaining about the communist Chinese government? Did you see this?
I think I read a little something about it.
I think I sauntered about in front of the TV because, you know, I'm not allowed to sit down and watch any particular episode of any particular show since I have two children now.
Yeah, you don't have time.
Here's the thing. When you have one child, and I'm sure parents all across the world will relate to this. I'm sure both of our listeners are going to relate to this. When you have children, the first child, you're like, it's impossible for me to lose any additional time in my life. You thought you were busy before the child. You're like, wow, I got a job. My wife and I like to travel. There's a lot, you know, we're going to social events and just the regular humdrum plink plonk of the day, as they would say. And then you have a child and you're like, holy shit. I really had no idea what busy was because now I'm fucking busy. Now I got a child. He's running around and changing diapers every 5 seconds. They never tell you this, but kids need constant attention. They don't.
They do.
Yes. Especially when they're newborns. You cannot leave them alone. And I was under the false assumption that, you know, put some food in a bowl for the thing. And then, you know, you could go out and take a nice vacation or something.
Like a pet.
Fuckers. And so when you have one child, you're like, wow, this is amazing. I lost all the additional time that I had is now gone to this child, which, listen, it's a trade-off. I'm not sure what the trade-off is yet, but I'll let you know when I get to that part. So then you have a second child, and all that time that you knew you didn't have to lose, you now have more time that you lose to the second child. So let me explain this. It's like an infinite pool of time that with each child arises out of the womb of the lovely woman that I married to, I lose additional time. I had no idea I had time to lose.
Right.
It's like a math equation. MC baby over TC womb equals no time spared. It's unbelievable. I have no time, Chrissy. There's nothing. I'm lucky that I'm here for an hour, you know, every week with you, my good friend.
I know. I was going to say, too, like on the opposite end of that, I now feel kind of guilty if I say talking to you or my sister, who also has two young little ones that are, you know, 2 and 4 years old. So I've seen it. I've seen her go through it. And it's, I feel kind of guilty anytime I'll be like, ah, I'm so tired. And then I catch myself and I'm like, oh, but probably not as tired as you are.
You have no idea what true tired is until you have a child. It's an amazing level of, it's a next level of tired. It's a hallucinogenic type tired.
I could see that.
I wish sleep deprivation not on my worst fucking enemy. I understand why the FBI will do this to like hostage situations, and they'll take like loud rock and roll music and blare it into someone's house with lights and, you know, throbbing electronic music. Is because sleep deprivation is truly like otherworldly type of torture, right? You just want to fucking sleep for more than 15 minutes in a row. And your children won't allow you, because guess what? They don't have to go to work tomorrow, so they can take a nap while you're at work, so they can be up when you get back and you can get less sleep than you had the night before. But don't let me complain.
No.
Thank you.
They are a beautiful, beautiful thing to have.
I do have to say. I do have to say.
You're just going to have to power through these next couple of years.
I just have to power through the next 22 years and everything's going to be
right, and then everything's fine.
I'm going to be 79 when that happens. Yeah. Listen, I have no complaints. No complaints. My children are beautiful. And my wife, quite frankly, does most of the work. I just sit around and complain about how tired I am. And then, you know, my wife's up every 15 fucking minutes feeding wiping the child's ass. And it's just, but the time that I do spend with my children is amazing. And there truly is no love like the love you have for a child.
I know.
Oh, no. I know. It's such a beautiful thing. So now that we're reminiscing, we have listeners all around the world. And I'm constantly surprised by how people find us around the world. Like, where exactly are they finding us? We determined last week that our crack marketing team has put together a campaign that is certainly doing well on Google, finding people all around the world for search terms that are not at all relevant to what exactly that we do. But, you know, there's just nations that I'm not even running a pay-per-click campaign outside of the United States. So my theory might not be true. It might be debunked a little bit. How are they finding us in South Africa, in Saudi Arabia, in Moldova, like we talked about last week? It's just like, I don't even know. But then I know that there's actual, and then I think to myself, maybe it's just like bots, you know, or people that randomly find, you know, some kind of like computer program or software program, or someone that's just dicking around in another country happens to find the commercial break, but really isn't listening for any period of time. But that's not true, because some people actually communicate with us. They leave comments on certain podcast platforms or on the website, or they send an email.
And which we encourage.
What's that?
I said, which we
absolutely encourage.
Please keep doing it.
Please leave all of the messages and emails you want. I'm not checking them anyway, so it doesn't really matter. If it makes you feel better, it makes me feel better. But we did get a message from someone in Eastern Europe. I forget the country. I'm going to say the Ukraine, because I think that's where it was, from the Ukraine. And her name was Jennifer, which I'm sure her name is not Jennifer, but that's just her fake name. It's like her stage name, right? Because I don't think there's any girls in Ukraine named Jennifer. And she says, the show is great. Wish we had more. Please, please, please. How can I help? How can I help? Right. And I think to myself, oh, that's very nice of you, Jennifer.
Yes.
You're welcome to do the show for me. And I think that that would certainly give me free up some extra time. But I think the best way that you can help, Jennifer, if I may be so bold, is that you can share the program with your other friends in the Ukraine, and you can write a review on your favorite podcast platform, because that helps us out in so many different ways. It's hard to explain. It's a complicated mathematical equation, Chrissy, that I haven't quite gotten to the bottom of. You know, I am an internet PI, a podcast investigator, and I am trying to figure out exactly what the algorithm is that gets you up and down these charts across the internets that will then lead to more listeners. I haven't quite cracked it. But what I do know is that there are some people out there, very intelligent human beings, that are spending most of their time, wasting most of their life on podcasting, that are telling me that by leaving a review, you can then increase your chances of being high up on these charts. So I say to Jennifer and all those out there who are wishing to help the commercial break, leave a review, and share it with your friends or on your social media, your MySpace.
That's the easiest thing to do.
Your Chatterbait, wherever it is. And while we're on the topic of social medias, Chrissy, I'd like to bring something to your attention. I'm not really particularly sure what OnlyFans is. I haven't had a chance to get on there because you have to pay, and I'm not going to do that because I don't know that there's anything good behind that credit card transaction that I actually want to see. But OnlyFans is apparently a place where you go to look at one in a state of undress. Am I making a correct assumption there?
I think so. That's what I've heard about it too. Yeah. You have like a page? It's like your page.
You have an OnlyFans page. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And then you decide what level of undress you want to be in, that then people will pay you to see that state of undress. Right? Mm-hmm. Is that kind of like how it goes? It's basically a strip club online.
Yeah, it's like a, well, I was going to say, or like the peep show with the door that comes down and you have to put more quarters in.
The little boxes you would go in. And I was always afraid to go in one of those because I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. So I'm afraid of how many things you have to touch to get from here to there. Yeah, it just always seemed a little bit. And I feel for the cleaner of those places.
Mm-hmm. Like I've seen them in movies. The attendants. I've never been in one.
Can you imagine? Semen cleaner. That's my official title. Yeah. I can see it now on LinkedIn. Semen cleaner. My name is Brian Green, Captain Semen Cleaner for the Bob and Tom Peep Show. So OnlyFans, OnlyFans is this new phenomenon that has popped up, I'm imagining, because now I'm seeing it on my Facebook and other social medias. And recently there was a young lady, and by young lady, I mean she's probably in her mid-50s, let's call it, right? Mm-hmm. And let me be clear about one thing before I start on this little journey with this bit. I don't care what you do for a living, and God bless you. Everyone's beautiful and everyone was born naked. So if you want to be naked, be naked. That's all. And if people are paying you to be naked, God bless America. But I would say she's a woman of a certain age that maybe she would want to stop thinking about. Maybe she was a stripper in a former life. Maybe she was a dancer. Maybe she just decided, woke up one day at 50 and decided she wanted to go ahead and have a lonely fan. We're going to call it lonely fans, a lonely fans page for all of the provocateur type stuff that she does.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue.
Make some extra cash.
Make some extra cash. Shaking that ass. I don't have any particular problem with someone getting online and showing their bodies. But on my Facebook page, there are one or two people who now have these OnlyFans page that will not stop inundating the Facebook stories with their OnlyFans marketing campaigns. Do you know what I'm saying? And this one particular person, while God bless her, at least this is not who I'd want to see naked. I wouldn't pay money to see this person naked. It sounds like there are plenty who are, because the way that she talks, it seems like she's selling her services every 15 minutes on OnlyFans. She's got the, you know, I'm in number 10, I'm in number 5, I've got 300 more. It's kind of like we brag about being in the podcast charts. She's bragging about being on the Lonely Fans charts, which then again, God bless her. But here's how the marketing campaign goes, and let me give you a little snapshot as to what happens. Hey, this is Carrie. I've only got 5 more spots left for my 15% off Lonely Fans page. Make sure you sign up now because I've got lots of goody goodies for you. Ooh. And she then backs up and the camera is showing her chest, right? And then she's got like 2 little dancing peaches, like emojis, that are there in front of her nipples, right? And then you know how Facebook then on the stories, then it swipes to another photograph if you want, or story, right? And then the next picture is a picture of food. Half-eaten food, as if she stopped in the middle of a meal, wherever she is, to take a picture of her food, and then back to, remember, only 5 more spots left to get into this peaches and cream. And I'm like, oh my fucking Christ. And this is going on daily. It's not like she like throws it out there once a week and just says it every fucking day. It's another advertisement for her Lonely Fans page with the exact same script. 15%. There's only 5 spots left for 15% off. So I've seen this going on for about 3 months. So I'm under the assumption that one of two things is happening. Either she has never sold those 5 subscriptions for 15% off because she keeps on offering them, or the price is just 15% off anyway because she keeps on saying it anyway. I wish she would just stop with the fucking lonely fans. And listen, I do have a choice. I can show, I can look into them or not look into them, but it's like a train wreck. Of course you're going to want to look at it when it pops up because you know how horrible it is and you just want to see what kind of nastiness this girl is going to put together. It's unbelievable. Here's wow. my tits. And then here's my spring rolls from Chili's.
Oh, Lord.
Here's my peach pie, and then here's the peach pie. Guess which one is which? Oh, Lonely Fans. Jump on over to Lonely Fans for 99.9% off. Only 1,500 more spots in my 99.9% off sale on Lonely Fans. Oh, do tell. Rush over to the Lonely Fans. Oh, Chrissy, it's highly disturbing. It's like the other trend that I see, which is, and I know you see this too, you go onto Instagram or you go onto Facebook and there are women that are in various states of undress. Now, there, I would say there are some, listen, I'm not afraid of a naked body. If I had one I thought I could show, I might also be on Instagram making a living. But no one wants to see dadbod3030 at Instagram.com.
You could put the eggplant.
I could put the eggplant right in my wiener. Yeah. I'd probably put a little teapot, like a little pouring teapot. Or maybe like a limp spaghetti noodle.
That I would love.
Thank you. Okay.
I would like to see that.
the thing is that these women get on Instagram and they're obviously very attractive women, right? They're young, attractive girls, and they've got tens of thousands of people that are liking and hearting mm-hmm. and, you know, who knows what they're doing on that Instagram. But there's a no nipple policy, am I correct? You can't show your nipples?
Yeah, on Instagram? I think so.
Because it's owned by Facebook. I think they've got similar policies. So every once in a blue moon, you know, you'll catch one that's a little bit more tardy than the other. And I say tardy, T-A-R-T-Y, not tardy like, you know, being tardy to the party.
Gotcha.
So it's a little bit more tardy than others. But then they write. So the impression is, here are my tits, right? Something along those lines. Or here's my muscular six pack chest with my huge swinging cock under my, you know, teeny weeny banana bikini. Right. So whatever, men or women. But then the post says something along the following lines. What we are is what we behold, and we behold what we are.
So they're trying to be like inspirational.
It's like, yeah, it's like you're fucking Deepak Chopra with your cock hanging out. Stop it. Just right. Look at my dick. It's huge. I mean, honestly, let's just be honest. Right. Why are you posting a picture of your beautiful tits and then posting something that says, what's coming is coming and we will be better when we meet it. I'm so deep. Look at my boob job. I just got it last Saturday. It looks great. I just put 25 cc's of collagen in my lips. Oh my God. For them to know.
Yes.
You must show them who you are.
Right. Being very artistic. It's like an artistic page. Yeah.
Look at my badunkadunk. Why don't you just write? Look at my badunkadunk. Do you like my badunkadunk, right?
Do you want to see more?
Yeah, do you want to see more?
Go to my Lonely Fans page.
I saw a girl on Instagram a couple weeks ago, and it shit you negatively. This is what was written. It was a quote from I can't remember who it was, but it was quote. It says, for them to know you must show them who you are. The only way through is going through the right door. Meanwhile, she was topless with her legs spread wide open, right? And on the picture, she was like at some beautiful, you know, remote location somewhere across the world where no normal people ever go, right? It's just like just this one particular Instagram model happens to be on this private beach in the fucking Maldives writing shitty little quotes and getting hundreds of thousands of Instagram likes. And then there was a Buddha statue sitting next to her. Please. Spare us all. Spare us all your bullshit and just be honest for once. Yeah. Because it gives the impression, right, that people are actually paying attention to your Instagram page because you're giving them some kind of spiritual knowledge. Mm-hmm. When the truth is, they just want to look at your tits. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Period in the sentence.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing your brain, right? Because you're like, ooh, naked girl or man or whatever. Yes. And then you see the inspirational quotes. You're like, oh, yeah, you do have to pick the right door. And then now you're back looking at the boobs.
It doesn't confuse me a bit. I'm like, ah, nice tits. I mean, who even reads the captions? Let's be honest. I'm probably one of the only ones that's noticed because no one else is reading the captions, just scrolling through and hearting. Scroll through heart. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's a phenomenon. The social media is a phenomenon unlike any other lifetime in human history. And how we're going to survive as a human race, I just don't know. People are getting more beautiful and stupider at the same time. So we're getting better mm-hmm. looking, but we're getting more stupid at the same time. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch the television program Married at First Sight, Australia. Have you had a chance to watch this?
No, I've seen it, and I might have even clicked on it right before I was falling asleep one night. So no, I
it's
haven't.
Probably good. I best haven't. Television show to fall asleep to. So Married at First Sight is a television show that one of the networks, but I think it's Lifetime or TLC or somebody, they show this, and it's basically, here's the premise of the show in case you haven't seen it, although I think it's wildly popular, so I'm sure most people have seen some version of it. But it's like an arranged marriage. Some experts get together, they do a deep dive into someone's personality, find out what they're looking for in an ideal partner. Then they find somebody that's that ideal partner, and then they match them up, and they don't get to see each other until they're walking up to the altar. That's it.
Wow.
Right? And then they get married and they agree to stay married for a period of time. Now, of course, you can't be legally forced to be married to somebody in the United States, at least. So I'm sure that they can leave the program at any time. But now you're on a fucking television program, so you want to give it your best go, right?
Yeah.
But then they go through the whole thing. They go on a honeymoon.
You knew what you were getting into.
You knew what you're getting into. And most of these people probably just want to be television stars anyway. Yes. They're not really looking for love. They just want to be on TV.
Yes.
At least the American version seems like maybe some of these people are actually looking for some kind of relationship. Maybe they are looking to be together in some kind of relationship. But they have a version in Australia that is even more wildly popular than it is here in America. Apparently, this television show has taken over the nation. Huh. And now they started broadcasting it in America because I think they've run out of fucking content. So they're like, well, we got to import some TV shows to run, right? And so they started running this program. And I watched the Married at First Sight, the American version. I watched it when it first came out. I didn't pay attention to it for a while. But then when this Australian version came out, it's like the American version, but it's much more sexy and slicked up. These people are ready for prime time. They're all gorgeous human beings who are ready to be reality TV show stars. It's a reality television show. It's a trashy reality television show, unlike the one in America, which is trashy reality. But it seems like there's a bit of seriousness about it. But in Australia, fuck it. Everyone is just wants to be a TV star, right? And they're all, and they put them in these rooms together and they all interact. The most
the girls and the boys then all stay together before they marry,
stay in this, they meet each other beforehand, at least on this particular season. They meet each other beforehand and they have their bachelor and bachelorette parties together, but they don't know who they're going to get married to. They're not all in the same room. It's girls and then boys. And then there was one lesbian couple, and that lesbian there, I don't know where the second lesbian was, but she wasn't in the room with everybody, but which I thought was I thought it was brilliant to put a lesbian on the Australian version, and they haven't done that here in the United States, which I think would be interesting.
Yeah, you got
to
have that.
To see. It's just a sample of normal people, right? If you're going to put a bunch of people, anyway. So then they go and they get married. Then they all go on a honeymoon together to a certain spot. And then they separate.
They all go on a honeymoon.
They all go on a honeymoon together. Interesting. Right? It is interesting. So then they come back together so then they leave and then they come back together to live in an apartment that has been set up by the production office, which really looks like more like a hotel room with maybe a few more accoutrements, but they're all living in the same hotel or the same apartment building in Australia, in Sydney, I think, right? So now they're all living in the
as
same.
As a married couple. They're
as
all
married couples,
couples,
they're all in their own apartments.
In the same building, right?
So in the American version, they don't even talk to the other couples. It's like everyone has their own story. And even though they're in the same apartment building, they very rarely get together. It happens, but it doesn't happen often. In the Australian version, they get together every Saturday for dinner. And then on Sunday, they have to recommit to each other. Like, it's a whole process, right? Oh. So when we go to dinner on Saturday, we get fucking shithoused. We talk trash about each other. Lots of drama happens. And then on Sunday, we have to decide whether or not we want to stay married for another week with our arranged partner in a ceremony where they say, I'm going to stay or I'm going to leave. Okay? Now, I bring this up. You'll have to excuse me. I might... Have you noticed, are you sitting inside for long periods of time, has got the air conditioning fucking with your sinuses?
Yeah, and my throat definitely gets like the tickle thing.
It's crazy. Yeah. I think I have coronavirus every 15 seconds, but then I realize just because I'm sitting indoors with the air conditioning blowing on my nose fucking 24 hours a day, I don't get a chance to do anything. So fucking ridiculous. I hate you, coronavirus.
I know. I've been like taking an allergy pill every day. And most of the time, I'm not even going outside.
You know what? I'm now convinced that maybe one of these preachers can blow the coronavirus away, and I'm willing to donate. I'm over it. I'm that over it. I'm going back to the preachers.
Yes.
So we get
we
to the
check back in with them.
I have a whole thing coming up for you. Okay. Let me continue with the story. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to tell you the next couple episodes we have coming up, because I have been going deep into the internets to find you the most salacious of bullshit that we're going to be bringing to you shortly, including other podcasts. Okay. So you get to this stay or leave ceremony, right? Mm-hmm. I want to present to you the following query, and I want to know what you would do. There's an older couple, Michelle and Michael. Two lovely people. He's probably in his 50s. He's probably in his mid to late 50s. She's probably in her early 50s. They're a lovely older couple. He's like kind of the grizzled like dad of the group, right? He's like, you know, gives the guys advice, and you know, he seems like he's well healed and well traveled and all this other stuff. Lovely human beings, and you kind of have an affinity for them. They're like, you know, if you watch the show, you're like, oh, these two, I like these two, right? And there's some other young bucks that are kind of like, you know, little shitheads, and not they probably wouldn't, they don't tickle my fancy. But Michael and Michelle, they're kind of milk toast, and they're like the mom and dad of the group, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, I like that.
So I like their storyline, and I'm following it intensely, as I do with my reality television shows.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to say this before I go any further. Well, fucking write me and tell me about how, you know, I'm such a yahoo because I watch all these, you know, reality shows and blah, blah. You have horrible taste in television. I know I have horrible taste in television. Television's horrible. At least I'm going to watch something that's interesting. It's an escape. It's escapism. Yep. It's exactly what it is. Don't write me and tell me what a vagina I have for watching Married at First Sight. Fuck you. Go watch the XFL or whatever it is you're doing. So Michael and Michelle have been going along swimmingly for most of the time, right? We're about midway through the season. And Michael and Michelle are sitting on a beach in this last episode, and they've had a lovely date and everything's going well. But throughout the season, they have been sleeping in separate bedrooms inside of the apartment. And he says it's because he wants to take it slow. And she says, I'm okay with that, but eventually I'm going to need to get a little further along the process. They're a little,
see the goods.
Yeah. See the goods, right? I'm going to want to have some intimacy.
Try it.
I want to see you down under, mate. So Michael turns to Michelle and he says the following. He says, I want you to know, I would do anything for you, love. I just love you so much. I think you're just a wonderful human being, but I'm not attracted to you. I have no attraction to you. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I've been trying. I haven't said anything because I just hope that it would grow, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there's a way we can get around this. We can figure it out together. I'm not attracted to you. And she goes fucking apeshit, right? As anybody would, because if you're married to somebody and you've been spending 7 weeks with them, 5 weeks with them, whatever it is, and you've been having this lovely time, and then all of a sudden they drop the bomb that they're not attracted to you, what do you do? I mean, how do you handle that? You're going to be offended. Of course you're going to be. Of course your feelings are going to be hurt, especially if you have feelings for that person. To hear that, you know,
especially if you're a woman,
I think woman or man, it's not if love is not reciprocated, it hurts no matter what. When you're, you know, your first love, and
absolutely
you're watching the girl walk around the hallways in high school and you think she's hot and everything, and then you get a chance to be alone with her and she's like, oh yeah, you're a really nice friend of mine, right? And you're like, oh, I got friend zone. And so, you know, I'm just trying.
I would start a Lonely Fans page. Try and spice things up. Gonna ignite the spark.
If somehow anybody wants a Lonely Fans page to pay attention to, I've got one on discount that I can send to you.
Five spots left.
Only five spots left. Only five spots left of 50% off my Lonely Fans page, but you can only see from the top down. To be quite frank, that's all I want to see. From the waist down is from the knees down is fine with me. I'll pay you to stop advertising on Facebook. So it brought up an interesting question in my head that I want to ask you with a degree of seriousness. What have you ever been in a similar situation? What would you do?
I have not been in that situation before.
Interesting.
I have been in that situation for feeling friends towards the guy.
So you felt friends and they felt more then?
Yes.
And did you have to break it to them? And what were the words that you used?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough.
I'm sorry, you're ugly.
No. No, I'm trying to be very cognizant of other people's feelings. But yeah, you just kind of have to slowly break away and just say it's not right.
That's very polite.
It's not you, it's me.
I always made the mistake. This has happened a couple times for me, right? Now, I have had a woman or two tell me, you know, I think we're just better being friends, right? But I've also been in a few situations where I kind of drove past the starting line and I probably shouldn't have gone that far. And then I had to back the truck up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
One particular woman that I dated, I think you may or may not know her. One particular woman that I dated, we were friends. That's all. That's it. We were friends and everything was fine and wonderful and dandy. And then, you know, you get a little drunk and you have a little fun and then you make a little love. And then now it's Pandora's box, right? It's completely out in the open. So this girl and I were really friendly with each other and we hung out a lot. And I really, quite frankly, enjoyed her company. And then I let alcohol and just stupidity get the best of me one night, two nights, maybe three nights. I let it get a little bit out of hand and we made some love. And I don't even think it wasn't that I wasn't attracted to her. I think it's what happened during our lovemaking sessions that actually turned me off completely. And it made me realize that we were just not going to be compatible long term and in any kind of relationship. And I probably had taken this too far. I should have stayed friends. And let me tell you what.
Chemistry is a big part of things.
It's a huge part of things.
Really is.
If you're not swinging in the same direction, right?
Yep.
Then it's unlikely things are going to last long term. Unlikely. I say unlikely because I don't know. Maybe it is eventually you guys get on the same page. Well, let me explain what happened in bed. It was a night we had been out drinking at the bar and we came back to my apartment that I was living in at the time. And we were sitting there watching some television and drinking some beer and listening to some music or whatever it is we were doing. And then her hand kind of went on my thigh, right? And the hand got a little fresh. Like, I mean, it could go on my hand. It could go on my thigh like a friend, but it got a little fresh. And I knew it was getting a little fresh.
It lingered.
It lingered, right?
Lingered
it lingered. And then it started moving. And then I was like, oh, you know, here we go, right? I knew this moment was going to come. And here it is. And what do I do? Unfortunately for the situation, my brain was out to lunch because I had been drinking a whole shitload of Bud Light that day. So I just kind of rolled with it, right? From the hand, from on the thigh, in the pants, then we end up somehow making out, and then we roll on into the bedroom, and then let the lovemaking commence. And as the lovemaking commenced, this young lady jumped on top of me, right? And when she jumped on top of me, and this is really what I think really made the determination that I didn't find her as attractive as I thought I had found her 15 minutes earlier when she was putting her hand on my thigh. Let me tell you what happened. She got into the heat of the moment, and this happened. She started to gobble like a turkey.
Oh.
She was gobbling like a turkey.
That was her lovemaking sound. You made her gobble.
I didn't say gurgle. I said gobble.
primal erotic
primal
gobble
urge just to gobble. I mean, and her head was shaking violently back and forth as if a turkey. I can't help it because I see it clear as day, and this is what's happening to me now. Was what was happening to me in the moment. I don't know how to react. I think it's funny,
right?
But it wasn't a joke. It was actually, she was gobbling. So I held myself together enough to, you know, perform the transaction and be done with it, and then I managed to have a conversation with her the next day. Hey, that was really fun. I'm really, you know, I'm, yeah, wow, what a night.
Yes. But we
should, wow, what a night. What a night. It was like a Thanksgiving. It was a
instead of it reminded me of Christmas.
It was a Thanksgiving, it was like Thanksgiving to remember. What a Thanksgiving. Next time I'll bring the cranberry sauce.
Right.
And so I just had to tell her, I just had to say, listen, I don't think we can do this again because it's just not, you know, we should be friends. That's it. We should be friends.
Let's preserve the friendship.
Let's preserve the friendship. Every once in a blue moon, things get out of control. And, you know, I love you dearly. And let's continue to go. Fast forward to about 3 weeks later, and a similar situation arises. And a similar result, which is, you know, we're at my house, the music is on, we're hanging out, we're having fun, and then, you know, let the lovemaking commence. What I had thought clearly was just like a total, clearly she couldn't make this noise every time she made love, right? This wasn't something that many guys over a period of time have endured and haven't said something, but holy, it happened a fucking again, you know? Go, 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 go.
All right. Yeah, it wasn't a one-off situation.
It happened all three times. All three times we made love, that shit happened. And so I just had to tell her with a broken heart that I didn't find her attractive because I didn't find her attractive.
Right. Anymore.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I know we were doing some stuffing, but it wasn't Thanksgiving. That was a bad dad joke, but it wasn't Thanksgiving, and it broke her heart. You know, she never talked to me again. Never talked to me again. It was like it didn't go well. Yeah, that's a hard conversation to have.
Yeah, it's very hard.
My overarching question is: can you actually have a relationship with someone that you're not attracted to, like a physical not a physical relationship, but like an intimate relationship with someone that you're not physically attracted to?
I can't.
I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't do it.
I mean, I'd just rather be by myself, clicking on some lonely fans pages and pleasuring myself that way, I guess.
Pleasuring yourself to the lonely fans?
Something along those lines, than being with somebody who you're just not attracted to. It seems like it makes life harder on a daily basis.
It seems like
then
it would
feel guilty. Yeah. Then you don't want to hurt their feelings.
I know.
Then, yeah, it seems bad. So what do you think is going to happen with Michelle?
I already know what happens with Michelle.
And Michael.
In the most riveting.
Michelle and Michael?
Yeah, Michelle and Michael. In what happens in the most riveting 15 minutes of reality show television I have watched probably in my lifetime. And that's saying a lot because I am just.
I gotta watch this show now.
Michael and Michelle get onto the couch during the commitment ceremony. Of course, they save him for last. And they spend the most amount of time on him. And Michael explains himself. He says, listen, I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but I couldn't go any further into this without explaining to you how I was feeling. I wasn't betraying you by not telling you. I was hoping that it would happen. I was hoping that something would pop, right? I was hoping that that magic moment would come about and I'd make you gobble like a turkey. And he said that, and so how it goes is that they each have a book, and they can say stay or they can stay leave, right? If they both say leave, the game's over. The marriage is over. They walk away. If one of them says stay and one of them says leave, they have to stay for another week and try and work it out. So it's kind of a fascinating part about this, the Australian version, that they don't have in the American version. They don't have commitment ceremonies in the American version. People just go about living their married life, and if they break up, they break up. So he says, I'm going to leave. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. I know you're really upset. You know, I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm leaving, right? Mm-hmm. And she says, I'm going to do the exact opposite of what I thought I should do, because I haven't been, my instinct hasn't been correct yet in my relationship life, right? I'm going to stay. And so she's going to stay. So now I don't know what happens after that, because we haven't gotten to the next episode, but that's what happened there. And it was absolutely fascinating. The 15 minutes of them talking it out, when there's like therapists that are on the other side of the couch, and, you know, so they're all talking about it and trying to, you know, give some perspective and all this other stuff.
What did the therapist say?
The therapist kind of agreed.
Maybe I just need to watch the show.
They kind of agreed with Michael. They said, you know, hey, listen, we understand you're hurt. Of course, anybody would be, but he's just doing the best he knows how to do. No, you're in front of cameras. You're trying to navigate this weird situation, all this other stuff. You walk up to the altar and you find you're not attracted to your wife. What do you do? He stayed in the hopes that he could work it out. That didn't happen. He knew he had to be honest at some point. He chose this week to be honest with you. Would it have made any difference if he did it? If he did it week one, you probably would be gone, right? So at least have some perspective that the reason why you two got, guys and girls, are why you two are here is because Michael chose to stay and try and work it out, right? And so I think that that was a good perspective on it. And but I mean, still, I still don't know how they're going to work it out. I mean, you know, what's going to happen? Is he going to magically wake up and
be attracted
to her? I need
to watch it now.
You need to watch the show. It's fucking fascinating. I mean, listen, it's really a trashy reality television show at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to watch two people who get married that don't even fucking know each other. And then all of a sudden they got to live together and they got to go on a honeymoon together. And some of these people work out swimmingly, very few of them. But, you know, most of them end up having marriage strife right off the bat. I mean, they don't even leave the honeymoon before they're already in arguments. If I had been on that show, I don't know why, but maybe it's just my personality, I would have found a way not to be dramatic about it in the first week. I would have found a way to at least be cool with whoever showed up. I would have been cool with them for a week. I could figure it out, right? Whether that be not talk to them or just keep my head on my shoulder. But some of these people are just popping off like day number one. It's really quite unbelievable, actually. People are weird.
I can't wait to watch it now.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of the Indian Matchmaker?
I haven't, but I'm going to get on that next. I'm going to do that next.
It's fascinating as well. It's fascinating as well. That culture apparently still, you know, does do the
arranged marriage.
Arranged marriages, which they just call marriages. And then there's love marriage, which is what the you kind of strive to do. But, you know, if it doesn't happen for you, then the next thing you know, your parents are getting involved.
Wait, so there's an arranged marriage and then there's a love marriage?
Yes.
And what's a love marriage? What is that? Is that like a marriage?
That's where you just
actually
find on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where you find on your own. So marriage is just called marriage.
Yeah.
That's an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
There. But also then there's a love marriage, which you're welcome to do too. But if you get to a certain age and you're not finding that love of your life, that's when the families step
very
in. And
interesting.
Specifically this Indian matchmaker as well. And the families hire this matchmaker, and it's really fascinating too.
I want to watch the show. I really do, because I think that
you should check it out.
It's a show that I would like, because it's trashy, it's not manly at all, and I'll probably just geek out to it, because that's how I am. And you know what? I have no shame about my television taste.
No.
Fuck you if you think otherwise.
There's a reason why they're so popular.
Yeah. Someone, never mind. I won't even say this. I'm not even going to say it. I'm not even going to go there.
What are you showing me on your phone? Brian,
I'm showing
you
on my phone. I'm taking a video of us because our social media manager manager has decided that we need to do more social media that doesn't include, you know, just a cartoon that says, listen this week. So I'm trying to get the show off, get some, cheers. Here's to you. I'm drinking my sleepy time tea, getting ready to go to sleep as soon as the show is over. What time is it? Yep. It's 4:30. Yep. It's 4:30. It's not time for me to go to sleep. I want to say this. We talked about Dean Bodie last week. The guy got a hold of the show, the commercial break, the one that we did, and he left us. He was so fucking nice. This guy is so nice. I got to say,
aww.
Listen, I love you, Dean. I really, really do. I know that my show's not everybody's cup of tea. Your show's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. We're both just getting started, having successes in our own ways. I really do wish you the best. But Dean was just so nice. He got a hold of the show and listened to what he had to say. You ready?
Yes.
Run, don't walk. Just like I want you to run, don't walk over to the Commercial Break podcast.
So he says, run, don't walk. So this is the beginning. So he does two shows. He does like a pre-show and then he does an actual show, right? Every nice. Single day he's doing this.
Wow.
Every single day. I know. It's so much work. Like so much work goes into just one of these podcasts.
He's probably got more time on his hands than you do.
Yeah,
right
that's
now,
true. Brian. Well, he does have to take care of Bodhi, who's apparently 27 years old. So
yes.
But then he says the following, which to me is one of the greatest compliments anybody could give us. And I'm going to take it. Ready?
The Commercial Break podcast has got this Howard Stern Robin vibe to it, except better. And these two at the Commercial Break bring it. And let me tell you, Chrissy's voice is way better than Robin's.
Wow, look at that.
Ooh,
he goes on to give me a nice compliment and say that I'm very funny and intelligent. Thank you, Dean. I appreciate both of those
yes,
compliments, even though they are clearly
Dean.
Not true. Dean Bodhi Show.
We like the rough edges over here, Dean Bodhi.
Yeah.
Good girl, Bodhi.
She's the best dog in the world. Yeah.
DeanBodhi.com.
DeanBodhi.com. There's your plug for you, Dean. Wow. Where did an hour go? I don't even know where an hour went. We're sitting here talking, and I haven't gotten half the stuff that I want to talk to.
This is what we do. It's us just having a conversation.
I know. Every single week.
Two best friends.
Two best friends taking on the world. And all over the world we are. So I want to say thank you to everybody that's listened all across the world. I know we joke about how little few fans we have and all this other stuff, and we like to be a little self-effacing. But the truth is, a lot of people listen, and they listen all across the world, and we couldn't be more grateful to everybody that has listened. So thank you very much. I want to say that
thank you.
First. Yep. Go ahead. And join the break room. Go to tcbpodcast.com is where you can join the break room. Every month, we're going to give you by the way, the break room is 100% free. Make no mistake about it. You don't have to pay a thing for it. Every week, you'll get a newsletter with some behind the scenes content. You'll get an update as to what Chrissy and I are doing in our personal lives. And then also, you're going to get a free hour of content. So it'll essentially be a commercial break show. May not be as formal, but it'll be outtakes and stuff like that from episodes that we've done or parts of the episodes that we haven't run. So I think that's interesting to everybody. We'll do that once a month for now. Maybe in the future, we'll do it twice a month.
A bloopers roll.
A bloopers roll. This whole show is a fucking bloopers reel. Let's be real about it. I mean, honestly, it's really crazy. Let me tell you this, too. We have got a couple very interesting episodes coming up, Chrissy Hoadley. Let me explain.
Okay.
I thought we found the creepiest dating, quote unquote, coach in the world in our Crackhead Casanova episode, episode number 6, which you can go back and listen to. I honestly had thought we had found the creepiest guy in the world, and he didn't even speak. He barely spoke the English language. He's like speaking some alien language I didn't know. But I have managed to find someone even fucking creepier than him. And Hoadley, I mean creepier by a tenfold. I mean, this guy is like in outer fucking space.
Mm.
And he has the girls that he is dating or the girls that he is hitting on are in his videos. So I don't know if he drugs them and brings them along or what he does. But so not only is it him giving dating advice, but he's giving the dating advice in front of the girls that he's wooing. And he's in Kenya. He's a white man in Kenya giving dating advice. It's just the most disturbing thing I've ever seen. In addition to that, the preachers are up to what they continue to be up to. And I've got plenty of clips from that. I think you and I are probably going to, our last episode is going to be very shortly here. And I'll explain why. It's because I found a podcast that is also on the charts. You know, we show up on the charts. Seems like every week somewhere or the other, we're showing up on the charts. Just because I'm interested, I look and see who's above us and who's below us a couple spots.
Yeah.
And I found someone else that's on the charts. They haven't done an episode in 4 months, 6 months. They haven't done an episode. The podcast is called Fucktard Nation. And all they do is say the word fucktard about 370 times an episode. Listen, it might be somebody's cup of tea, but hold the I'm going to stop doing the podcast because I fear that if this is what we sound like, then we might as well just stop doing the podcast altogether. It's unbelievable, this podcast. I want to play clips from this show. Maybe we'll do that next week. And yes. I promised to get to some Haribo comments, right? We promised to do some stuff about the Haribo
that's right.
Sugar-free stuff. I wanted to get some Haribo actual sugar-free gummies and try it out for myself, see if I had some any kind of stomach displacement. I couldn't find any. They're all out. Like, apparently people are buying them so they can do their own experiments. So I'm not gonna tread over old ground. But we do address it in the newsletter, which will be coming out in just another day or two. That's The Break Room. Go to tcbpodcast.com and join The Break Room. I want to thank my good friend Chrissy Hoadley for coming on board, joining me for another episode.
Oh, thank you, Brian. I always enjoy it.
Do you really always enjoy it?
I do.
Yeah?
I have my wine. I have my glass of wine, and we just sit here and shoot some shit like two fucktards.
Two fucktards. Let me tell you something about another fucktard. Fucktard this and fucktard that and fucktard. And they live in Kentucky, and all they do is talk about like bad traffic on Kentucky highways, and they're on the fucking charts.
We fucktards. Have to beat them.
We do beat them by one spot, Chrissy.
Just, okay. we're one up.
We will see you next time. Join us next Wednesday on the commercial break. I love you, Hoadley.
I love you too, Brian Green.
Bye.
Bye.
Email us at thecommercialbee@gmail.com. Find us and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Commercial Break. New episodes drop every Wednesday. We can be found on Spotify, iHeartMedia, Apple, Google, and all major podcast providers. The Commercial Break is a Great Middleweight production. Written and produced by Brian Green. Co-hosted by Chrissy Hoadley.